Well, morning everybody, and welcome to our latest midweek podcast. You might want to be turning to 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we'll be looking at a verse in there. Now, one of the joys of working so closely with Julian is that he and I agree on so many things, but not everything. And one of the things that divides us is the question of which is the greatest Easter hymn. You can probably tell we don't see eye to eye on that from our song choices on the last two Sundays. So last Sunday when Julian chose, he chose that great hymn, Thine Be the Glory. It is a great hymn, isn't it? But on Easter Sunday when I got to choose, I got to choose what I think. It's a matter of taste, isn't it? Is the even greater hymn, Christ the Lord is risen today. Both great Easter hymns. They both have so much in common, though, including one line that really stood out for me as we sung them this year. In Thine Be the Glory, the line I'm thinking of goes like this. For her Lord now liveth, death hath lost its sting. Speaking of the church. And then in Christ the Lord is risen today, we sang, lives again our glorious King, alleluia. Where, O death, is now thy sting, alleluia. What a thing to say. What a thing to be able to sing. We're so aware of death at the moment, aren't we? Right now, we get daily statistics from the government. Hundreds more, we're told, have died every day from this virus. We hear, perhaps, of people we know who go into hospital, who go into intensive care, many of whom only just make it through, some of whom, sadly, don't. And there's that genuine fear, isn't there, that I know many of us feel for people we know who we fear are particularly at risk of catching this virus and will be in danger if they do. Where, O death, is your sting? Seems like a very brave thing to be able to taunt death with, doesn't it? Like one set of football fans taunting the opponent's fans across the stadium. Can we really mock death like that? There's no way we could do that, is there? If it wasn't for the fact that the Bible gives us our lead. And it does. Just have a look, 1 Corinthians 15. We'll pick it up verse 54, although it's verse 55 we'll particularly focus on. So verse 54, when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. And with that prospect in mind, Paul quotes these words, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? It's a long chapter, 1 Corinthians 15. It would be a great chapter to work through over the course of a week, perhaps, reading a chunk every day. Paul begins verses 1 to 11 just by setting out the glorious, most basic but most wonderful truth. Jesus has been raised from the dead, as promised in the Bible, as seen by so many witnesses. Then he goes on, verses 12 to 34, just to unpack what that means. If he has been raised, then so will everyone who trusts him to the same glorious life beyond. Then in verses 35 to about 49, Paul starts to unpack some of the differences between life now and life then, between our bodies now and our bodies then. And then in verses 50 to 58, he reaches this just wonderful, confident crescendo of just praise and excitement at resurrection life to come, before applying it in that verse 58, encouraging us to stand firm in our faith. And in the midst of this crescendo, this wonderful verse, verse 55, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? And it sounds like a crazy thing for people like you and me, little old you and me, to be able to say to something as menacing and threatening as death. Like watching the youngest child in a school saying something like that, taunting the biggest bully in the sixth form. What are you doing? What are you saying? We want to ask. But it's not crazy. Because, as Paul reminded us at the beginning of the chapter, Jesus has been raised, and so everyone in him, everyone trusting him, will one day be raised too. That is the level of confidence we can have in the face of death. Paul, of course, is not saying death is not a sad thing. Of course it is. He's not saying Christians don't grieve when people die. Of course we do. Death remains an enemy in God's world. But there should be something different in the way Christians think of it, in the way Christians grieve, Paul says. Yes, we shed tears at funerals. And maybe some of us will do that again in the next few weeks and months because of this virus. But there should be something different, a hope we have in the face of death. And as we look through Christian history, there are so many occasions when Christians have shown remarkable confidence, like Paul does here in the face of death. Paul himself in Philippians chapter 1, able to say, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Great serving Jesus now, to die and be with him even better," he can say. Or John Chrysostom, a great 5th century preacher, when he was being threatened by the Empress Eudoxia, who was persecuting Christians. She threatened him with banishment, sending him away from the land. "You can't banish me, for this world is my father's house," he said. "Well, I'll kill you then," the empress said. "No, you can't, for my life is hid with Christ in God," Chrysostom replied. Or Roland Taylor, one of the earliest martyrs, Christian martyrs in the 16th century under Queen Mary, sentenced to death for his faith. And his final words to his family, just so extraordinary. "Trust ye therefore in him by the means of our dear Saviour Christ," he said. "Believe, love, fear and obey him. Pray to him, for he hath promised to help." And then these words, "Count me not dead, for I shall certainly live and never die. I go before and you shall follow after to our long home." Or the words of that Welsh hymn writer, William Williams, who wrote hundreds of hymns, but there's only one of them we sing today. There may be a reason for that. His great hymn, "Guide me, O thou great Redeemer," with that extraordinary line, do you know it? "Death of death and hell's destruction, land me safe on Canaan's side." That is the worst death can do to us now, if we're trusting Jesus, is land us safely in the most wonderful place of all, in heaven with him. Such confidence, just as Paul had in 1 Corinthians 15. "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" Let's pray together. I'm going to lead us quickly in three prayers, the first of which is one of the collects, the Church of England's special prayers for Easter Sunday. Let us pray. Lord of all life and power, who through the mighty resurrection of your Son overcame the old order of sin and death to make all things new in him, grant that we, being dead to sin and alive to you in Jesus Christ, may reign with him in glory, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be praise and honour, glory and might, now and in all eternity. Amen. Let's pray now in the light of that verse from 1 Corinthians 15. Father, we thank you so much for the confidence that we can have as your people, even in the face of death. We pray that you would help us all to remember the Lord Jesus, risen from the dead, just as you promised, as so many people saw, and to know that just as certainly we will rise too if we're trusting him. We pray especially for those in our church family and others we know who are particularly anxious or fearful about death right now. We pray that in your kindness, by your Spirit, you would grow in them and in us this confidence in the light of Jesus' resurrection. And we ask in his name. Amen. And then finally, a prayer for the day ahead. Heavenly Father, for those who are back at school this week, at school, at home, we pray that you would give them concentration and help them to work well. For those who are out at work, give them diligence in all they do. For those on furlough, we pray that you would help them to find good things to do. For those who are lonely, grant them, please, a deep sense of your presence with them. For those struggling to live together with others under the same roof, please give patience and forgiveness. For those who are doubting, please give faith. For those who are feeling confident in themselves, please give humility. And for all of us, we pray for a growing confidence in your love and your wisdom and your power, seen supremely in the Lord Jesus. And we pray that you would grow in us a self-giving love for others, just as Jesus showed. And we ask these things in his name. Amen. Well, thank you for joining us for this, and I do hope that you can join us for our prayer meeting this evening.